Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the war story when we come back. You know, we Americans may hold the dubious honor of being the most litigious people in the world, but when it comes to law, we seem to be among the most ignorant. Today, most Americans feel powerless to resist the evils that they see perpetrated against our liberties, our privacy, and our property by these powerful government agencies and multinational corporations, lobbies, and the news media. But you and I do not have to remain helpless. The institution designed by God himself and incorporated into our Constitution and Bill of Rights is called the judicial power. Now, the courts are the proper repository for the protection of our rights, our liberties, and our property. It's not in the Congress, and it's not in our political process. Now, did you know that the privilege against self-incrimination, for instance, is neither accorded to the passive resistant nor to the person who is ignorant of his rights? It's not afforded to one who is indifferent thereto, because it is a fighting clause, and its benefits can be retained only by sustained combat, and it cannot be claimed by an attorney or a solicitor, and it is valid only when insisted upon by a belligerent claimant in person. Now, that's a direct citation from U.S. v. Johnson. That's why I contend that we should listen more to the judges and less to the politicians and the lawyers. Did you hear what that judge said in that statement? Now, listen up. Rights cannot be claimed by an attorney or solicitor. They can only be claimed by you, the belligerent claimant in person. Now, if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, 417-273-4967. Now, while you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. That's a free four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free of charge. Now, our school, Courtroom Strategy and Procedure, is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click on to the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there off of our webpage. All right, we're talking about the war story. So we took a look at this thing of war from the perspective of the scripture, the perspective of the Bible. And I showed you the first lesson here that we took on is that there's a modality, a legal system that regulates war. We haven't been following that here in the United States, and there's a result that comes from that. We'll get more into that result as we progress along. But in the last session here, I told you about Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. When you and I breach our contract with our Creator, there's a penalty that comes down. Anytime that you have a contract, there will be a clause in the contract. It's called the penal clause. Let me give you an illustration. Let's suppose I'm a general contractor. I come out to your house, and you want to remodel the kitchen. And so I give you a price of $10,000 to remodel the kitchen. And in the terms, we write up our agreement here. You tell me that you want me to put number 10 wire in the wall. And I point out to you that, no, number 10 isn't the correct gauge wire. Number 12 is the correct gauge. And you point out to me that, yes, that's true, that number 12 is what's permitted, but you want a heavier gauge wire in the wall for whatever reason. But that's what you want. And so I say, well, you're going to have to pay extra to get number 10 wire in the wall. It's heavier and tougher and takes more time and one thing and another. He says, well, I say, okay, $500 more to use number 10 over number 12, trying to discourage you from your madness here. And you say, that's fine, I'll pay you the extra $500. And now instead of $10,000, it's going to be $10,500. And I'm going to put in new cabinets and a new dishwasher and, you know, new solarium linoleum floor and paint and light fixtures and all the goodies that go in here. Then so I go to work and I do the job, and you sign up and you pay me on time. You know, I got my first third, and then pretty soon I got my second third. And then I finish the job, and I come to you and I say, okay, now you've paid for two-thirds of the job, and now you owe me for the last third of the job. And so you walk over and you take a screwdriver and you take the cover off of a wall socket and you look inside, and you see that there's number 12 wire there. And you say to me that you're not going to pay me the last third of the contract because I have breached my contract. You say I've breached my contract and you're not going to pay me. And I say to you, here's the certificate of occupancy. I got building permits. I got electrical permits. I got plumbing permits. And the plumbing department, the electrical department, the building department have all signed off, and here's your certificate of occupancy. I have complied with all the laws of the state. I've complied with the National Electrical Code, the National Plumbing Code, the State Electrical Code, the State Plumbing Code. I'm in compliance with all the laws of the state, and you owe me for this. And then you say, no, sir, I'm not going to pay it. Furthermore, you're going to sue me for the two-thirds that you've already paid me, and then you inform me. In addition to that, I'm going to sue you for punitive damages because you knew or should have known it was written in the contract that I was to get number 10 wire in the wall. And I point out to you, well, I forgot to tell the electrician, and he put in the wire that was prescribed by the electrical code. So I'll tell you what I'll do. I will reduce the $500 premium that we agreed to. I won't charge you the $500 for the number 10 wire. And as unreasonable as you can be, you say, sir, the only thing that's going to satisfy me is that you replace that number 12 wire with number 10. And I point out, I'll have to take all the sheetrock off. Why, I'd have to tear out all the cabinets. I'd have to go back to square one. Why, I would be a big loser. I'd lose a lot of money doing that. And you point out, sir, the agreement, the contract called for number 10 wire, and you didn't put it in. And so I say, well, I can't do that, and so I'm going to sue you for that one-third. That'll make you the defendant. So who do you think's going to win when this case goes to trial? The case is going to be heard. The judge is going to listen to it, and he's going to have to make a decision. Well, I'll tell you how the case is going to come out. I'm going to lose, and I'm going to lose big time. Now, I might not get nailed for punitive damages. That might be a little bit too much. But I'm certainly going to get nailed for the contract price, which is $10,000. The judge is going to set aside the entire contract as being null and void for breach of contract. That's number one. And you're going to end up with the new solarium floor, and you're going to end up with all the rest of the material that I put in, plus my labor, at the very minimum. And then you don't ever have to put in number 10 wire. You could just live your life with number 12 wire and get the whole job done free of charge and make me pay the cost of litigation. Whatever your lawyers cost you, you make me pay that. More than likely, the judge would grant that if you pled it correctly. And the reason is because contract is the holy grail of Anglo-Saxon administration. That's what the Ten Commandments were all about. That's what this old covenant that I brought to your attention in the last program is all about. You see, in Exodus 19, verse 16, the Creator came to your great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy 84 generations back, and he pitched a deal. It's called a tender offer. In law, we call that a tender offer. He tendered them this offer. He said, hey, do this, that, and another thing, and I'll give you these benefits. Now, the benefits that he tendered there were pretty substantial benefits. There's 33 of these benefits articulated in this contract in Exodus 19, 16 through Exodus 24, verse 8. 33 benefits. Now, he saddled us with some duties. You know, he said, well, now you're going to have to do this, that, and another thing. And if you do all those things, then I'm going to give you these 33 benefits. Now, your great-great-granddaddy, way back here, 84 generations ago, he heard that deal pitch, and he said, that's a pretty good deal. Now, there was a couple of little anomalies here. One of them is that the guy who tendered the contract has eternal life, and your great-granddaddy didn't, which raised a legal question as to what's going to happen to all of these benefits. What's going to happen to the physical property when great-granddaddy dies? And the answer is that it inures to the heirs and assigns forever. It inures to. You'll see that in contracts. And those benefits were then passed on through the inheritance law to your son, and then it was passed on to his son, and so on down the line. And so when we're dealing with individuals, they're simply families that have grown large into nations. You know, you take a look at the Swedes, and they started from a single patriarch in the family. If I remember right, his name was Naphtali. Pretty sure it was Naphtali. In Denmark, it was Dan. So you Danes, you know, over there in Denmark, your great-great-great-great-granddaddy that signed on to this deal over here was a descendant of your patriarch, Dan, from the tribe of Dan. And you French over there, the tribe of Reuben, and you Englishmen over there, you know, you're from the tribe of Ephraim, and you Scotsmans up there, you're from the tribe of Judah, and so on. And those people signed on to this. Now, it inured to all of us. And we in the Western world now have been the recipients of the benefits, the 33 benefits, national benefits, individual benefits, family benefits, now for about 3,000 years. And now in this last generation, we've gotten a little out of hand. It isn't the first time that we've ever done this. So I'm not throwing any blame anywhere. I'm just pointing out that we're here in this last generation, and we have breached our contract. Breached our contract. This war over in Afghanistan is a breach of contract, and so is that war over there in Iraq. And this economic crisis that you see descending upon the whole world over there is a penalty that we're receiving as a part of our breach of contract. It's not the only thing, but it's part of it. Now, let's take a look at disease. See, disease, for instance, this is a pretty sick country. It's a good country to get sick in because we've got the best medical care you can buy anywhere. Now, Dick Cheney the other day had a heart attack, fifth heart attack. Took him to the hospital and fixed him up, and away he went. Now, if Dick Cheney lived over in Uganda, you know, and had five heart attacks, he'd just be toast. Well, he'd have been dead years ago. They don't have that kind of medical service, that kind of medical technology. So the point is, we've got great medical services over here, but we're a nation of sickies. Take a look at our obesity, 25-27% obese. Take a look at diabetes. You know, it's an epidemic. Take a look at heart disease and cancer. Now, there's a cause and effect relationship. Now, so what happens is when you break a law, then there's a penalty to pay. And you can figure out how that works. You know, you're driving your car down the road, and you're driving your car on the right side of the road. Now, pretty soon you come up to a double yellow line. Now you switch over and you start driving in the left side, like they do in England. Now, one of two things is going to happen here. Either one, at some point in time, you're going to run head on into somebody else coming in that lane toward you, and you're going to get corrected now by a natural law called physics. When your car at 70 miles an hour head on strikes the car coming at you at 70 miles an hour, there's going to be an effect there. Now, there could be another effect. There could be Ranger Rick out there watching you driving on the wrong side of the road, on the wrong side of this double yellow line, and he might turn on his lights and stop you and correct you and say, I'm going to give you a ticket. Now, you're a licensed driver. You're supposed to know this. You're supposed to drive here in this country on the right side of the road. He would then take you into the judge, and the judge would give you a fine or might put you in jail for a few days or something like that. He'd punish you in some way. You know, the point is that we want to get your attention, get you to stop doing this. That's what we're aiming this at. It's for the benefit of everybody else. Now, when God comes along and he sets up certain laws, for instance, here in the United States, we're in violation of 82 laws out of 133. 82 out of 133. So let me explain that one to you for a minute. You got 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments in the scripture, and they're balanced by these 33 benefits. All right, now that balances out. Now, if you violate the terms and conditions, well, then some of your benefits over here are going to be affected. It may be a fine. It may kill you. It may be a sickness or a disease, which is the equivalent of a fine. It could be any number of things. There's 28 penalties, 28 different ways that God uses to punish you. 28 different things can occur to you if you breach this contract. Now, these are called natural penalties. I'll give you a couple of three illustrations as to how this works. So we start off here with Christmas. It's against the law to practice Christmas. If you got a pen and paper, write this down. I'm going to tell you where the statute is that tells you not to do that. And then when you do that, what is the penalty? You know, if you didn't have a penalty, then you wouldn't have a law. You got to have a law. You got to have a penal clause in the contract. Because if you don't, then you don't have a law. You don't have a contract unless you got a penal clause in the contract, because there's no way to enforce it. There's no way to make me put number 10 wire in the wall. The penalty is that as a licensed general contractor, you know, I've got certain duties and obligations. The state says, hey, we're going to send the police power of the state after you, Gordon, if you don't honor the terms and conditions that you agreed to. Now, God has a similar statute. It's in Numbers chapter 30. So write down Numbers chapter 30. What are the requirements of a contract? And it says, everything that proceeds out of your mouth cannot return again. You cannot go back on your word. Now, that being the case, then when you make an agreement, you make a contract, then you have to fulfill it. And if you don't, then there's a penalty. There's some kind of penal clause. Now, if you practice Christmas, there's going to be a penalty that comes down upon you for that. Now, listen, Jeremiah 10, verses 1 through 6. So here we got a broken law. Christmas, Jeremiah 10, 1 through 6. Here in America, nearly everybody practices Christmas. Those of you who do not practice Christmas will not suffer a penalty. And the reason that you won't suffer a penalty is that God never punishes anybody for something he didn't do. Now, there's an example of that. Go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. I think it's about Genesis 17, 18, 19, long in there somewhere. And you'll read a story in there where Abraham was doing his thing one day, and Melchizedek pulls into the yard with a couple of his buddies. And then he's on his way over to Sodom and Gomorrah, and they have a little conversation over there. And Abraham asked him, he said, when the conversation got heated up, he said, now, are you going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness? And God said, yeah, I am. And he said, well, now, are you going to destroy it if there's 50 righteous over there? And so God said, you know, if there's 50 righteous in the city, I won't destroy it for the 50. Now, for you people in San Francisco with 600,000 people in your city, if you were to extrapolate that out, you'd probably need somewhere on the neighborhood of 300 righteous in the city. And I doubt seriously that you could come up with 300 righteous. There were about 100,000 in Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, if there's 50 righteous, you could probably pull this off. Okay, so Abraham went a step further, and he said, well, listen, what if there's 45 righteous for the sake of 5, you know, would you destroy the city? He said, no, I wouldn't do it for 45, 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. And he probably could have sold it for 5, but he stopped at 10. So, you know, if we were to take a look at the same percentages over here. You people in San Francisco, you got about 600,000 people living in the city, and 10 out of 100,000. So you'd need 10 out of 100,000. If you had 60 righteous over there in San Francisco, you probably could save the city. Let me ask you this. Is there anybody out there that thinks that there's 60 righteous citizens in the city of San Francisco, California? Do you believe that? I don't know how many there are, but I would be surprised if there's 60 righteous. I would be surprised. There could be, and there may be. Let's take a look at another one. Look at number three here, pork. Leviticus 11, verse 7 tells you not to eat pork. Well, you people all eat Jimmy Dean pure pork sausage, when most people eat pig. That's why I call them pig-eating Christians. Christians eat pig. They have it at their barbecues and their socials, and nobody is excited about that. I just wanted to point out that there's a law here in Leviticus 11, verse 7, where your Creator told you not to eat pig. Probably just trying to spoil your fun and wreck your dinner, but, you know, He told you don't do that. And then there's Easter, and that's number four here on my list. Jeremiah 44, verses 17 through 19 tells you not to practice Easter. Unjust weights and balances, that's a violation of Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. Unjust weights and balances. God tells you not to do that. Now, we use Federal Reserve notes, credit cards, stocks and bonds, negotiable instruments and mortgages, pay usury and interest. I mean, you know, it's the American thing to do. But I want to point out that it's against the law. And the reason I'm doing that, I'm not here trying to get you people to change your religion or come join me, because I don't have anything for you to join. You don't have to send me any money. I'm not after your tithes and offerings. And I'm just here to report that there's a cause and effect relationship. And I wanted to bring it up in the context of this thing of war. Now, last week I pointed out to you that the book of Revelation, which is a book that describes a horrendous war. I mean, it's the end time war. What did Saddam Hussein call it? The mother of all wars. He thought that Iraqi war was the mother of all wars. No. He didn't understand Revelation at all. There's a war coming that is going to, in the final analysis, kill 9/10 of all the people drawing breath on planet Earth today. 9/10. That's 9 out of 10. That's not very good news. Your chances of surviving this war now is only 1 in 10. No matter where you live on planet Earth, that's your statistical odds. Now, witchcraft is a big thing here in the United States. We practice, it's called Halloween here. You know, we have a national holiday to celebrate it. We teach our children in school to practice Halloween. In fact, it's the second biggest money-generating holiday, second to Christmas. It outpaces Easter in the country. I mean, it's number two. And it's a violation of Leviticus 20, verses 27, where we're told don't do that. Sodomy, well, we're actively working today to promote sodomy. You know, same-sex marriages and gay rights. They've got a big debate going on now. Congress is going to legalize gay rights now in the military. Now, I'm not here to tell you what you should or shouldn't do. You know, I'm not a moralist here. I just wanted to point out that the guy that wrote the scripture over here, now, he's pretty much opposed to that. He does not care for that at all, and he tells you very plainly. And you can read about that in Leviticus 20, verse 13. He doesn't care much for abortion either. And you can read about that in Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 5. Doesn't care much for usury. You can read about that in Exodus 22, verses 25 through 27. Now, I've given you about 10 laws here. I could go through here and we could spend hours on this. I just wanted to point out to you some of the high-profile laws that we're in violation of, for which, any one of which, would terminate our contract and cause us to suffer the penalty clause. Now, most religious people think that the penalty clause in the Bible is death. God is this killing monster, and by God, He caught you over here sinning, and He's going to kill you. Well, that's a possibility. There's 24 crimes in Scripture that are punishable by death. It is true there's 24 capital felonies. But by and large, most people don't commit capital felonies. Most people aren't out here practicing sodomy, which is a capital felony. And most people aren't out murdering people, which is a capital felony. Most people, most of the people I know aren't practicing adultery. Now, that's a capital felony. Now, here in the United States, sexual perversion and immorality is pretty common. And we don't punish anybody over here for adultery. Adultery, though, is a capital felony, so if you're out here gangbanging your neighbor's wife, keep in mind that God told you not to do that. Now, we don't follow very many of these laws. We don't practice very many of them. And going back now to the terms of our contract, which inures to the heirs and assigns forever, we have collected our 33 benefits. We, the people of the Western Anglo-Saxon world, that is the Israelite nations, we call it Western Europe. You know, you Frenchmen, Belgians, you Luxembourgs, you Dutch, you Danes, Swiss, Germans, Spanish, you know, you people are Israelites. You English and Irish and Scots and Icelanders and Canadians and Americans and Australians and New Zealanders, you know, South Africans, white South Africans, you know, you people are descended from Israel. And you're under the terms and conditions of the contract, whether you knew that or not, or whether you understood it or not, or whether you believe it or not. It's not important to me. I didn't come here because I want you to believe me. I just came here to give you a report. Now, you can see the beginning of what's coming down on us. And that's why in the last program I said, let me take you through the book of Deuteronomy, which now is the penal clause to the contract. You know, you didn't put the number 10 wire in the wall, Bob. And now the customer, that's God, the customer, the buyer here says, you know, I've already paid you a bunch, two-thirds. Now, you know, I want some specific performance on this contract. And not only aren't we performing, we're behaving badly. Now, let me give you one last little piece of information here that maybe will help you. I sold a piece of ground here to a guy not too long ago, and the guy paid his down payment, and he's a nice guy, and I liked him. And I said, now, anything I can do to help you? And so one day, he couldn't make the payments. He didn't pay me. And so I said, now, Johnny, what's the story here? And he said if he had the money, he'd pay it, but he didn't have the money. Then he went out and he's been using some skullduggery against me over here and getting people lined up against me, and now we're involved in litigation. And if he were to come to me today, I wouldn't listen to him. I mean, I'm just that way. You know, I just get ticked off and I won't listen to him. But had the man come to me early on and said, look, I'm in trouble and I need some help here. Would you help me make my payments? I'm unable to make my payments. I would have said, well, certainly, what can I do? You need some more time? You need some work? You know, what can I do to help you make your payments? Now, God has done that a time or two in the Scripture. He said, you know, what can I do to help you? But, you know, if you just keep giving somebody the finger and you stick it to them, you know, over and over and over again, you know, like we Americans and Britons and Canadians have been doing, you know, for the last 100 years, you know, pretty soon the old man gets ticked off. Now, this guy in the Scripture, this God, we call him, you know, in the Scripture, this Elohim, you know, or Yahweh or whatever your name is, you know, Jehovah, you know, there's a point in time here. And I told you this last week, we were talking about Jehovah's Witness wrote me a letter, and I said, look, you know, J.W., Gene, you people aren't practicing the Sabbath. That's a capital felony. You people are in breach of contract here. You Mormons, you know, you're in breach of contract. You pig-eating Christians out there are in breach of contract. So don't get angry now with God because he's going to execute the penal clause to the contract. We agreed to it when we went into the deal. When you sign a contract with your customer to remodel his kitchen, there's a penal clause in the contract. You know, the penal clause may not be in the writing that you and the customer are signing. It may be in some separate writing, you know, like the statutes and the judgments of your state. Now, most of you people out there probably are sitting there saying, well, I'm in compliance with all the statutes of New York and California, and that's wonderful, and you should be. But you're not in compliance with all the statutes of the Scripture, and maybe you didn't know that. Maybe the general contractor didn't know about the police power of the state, but he's going to find out. And all of us are going to find out about the police powers of the creator of the universe when he executes judgment here. That's the moral to my story. Now, we're in breach of contract, and there's war coming as a result of it. And that war is going to affect all of us. It's going to affect us whether we're practicing the law or we're not practicing the law. But those of us that practice the law or try real hard to practice the law are probably going to come out a little better. It's been my experience that if you go to the guy that you've offended and you say, I'm sorry as hell that I did this. Is there something that I can do? I'll light your cigarettes. I'll pour your coffee. I will come over and clean your barn. I will work for you. But, you know, what can I do? Most people that I've run across are pretty good that way. But I've also noticed that when you're living your life and you get truculent and you give people the finger and you yell and scream at them, they respond in like manner. Now listen, we're at the halfway point here. Let me give you a reminder that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School in Visabella, Missouri. The Law Hour and editorial review is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective, not state schools and all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Click on to our archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, or mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the war story. The war story. So I started out and I showed you that there's protocols that come from war. There's laws that guide and teach us how to do a war. War is kind of a bad end. If you could avoid it, it would be better. Sometimes wars are necessary, and you'll see that in the scripture. God is a pretty nice guy, but he goes to war every once in a while, and there's a lot of wars. My grandmother used to say the Bible is a bloody book. Oh, she hated it. She hated God. And she hated the Bible, and she never went to church, and she really turned me off on the scripture. And she had some good points. I'm not denying that. And she pointed out that the Bible is just filled with blood and gore and guts, and God is unfair. Roger Rosenblatt, he's an essayist, and he was on the PBS NewsHour the other night, and Jeffrey Brown interviewed him. And Rosenblatt's daughter, age 38, died of a heart condition. She passed away, and Rosenblatt wrote a book called Making Toast, and he was interviewed concerning his book, and in his interview he said he hated God for what had happened. He said he's getting over it now, but he hated God because his daughter died. Now, let me point something out to you. His daughter died from a heart attack, and a New Testament example of that comes up. Jesus one day was out doing his thing, and I don't know how the deal came down exactly, but he was out walking around doing his thing. His disciples are with him, and they came upon a fellow, young man, who was blind. And this young man had been blind from birth. And his disciples, pointing to the blind man, asked the Messiah, asked Jesus. He said, "Who sinned here? Was it this man who's blind, or was it his parents?" Now, let's understand a basic principle of law. In the Ten Commandments section of Exodus 20, God explains to us, he says, "I visit the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." So you can commit a sin, and that sin can come down on your children. For instance, let's suppose that you're out here at Flo's Whorehouse having a fling, and you pick up a dose of clap, and you take that home and give it to your wife, who in turn maybe is pregnant and has a baby, and the baby now is born with venereal disease, or like as not, is born with AIDS. You see, that AIDS, then, isn't the fault of the baby being born. The baby's innocent. He didn't do anything. And so many people look at that and say, "See, God is unfair. He punishes innocent little babies." Well, he told you, don't do that, because if you do, you could be affecting your children to the third and fourth generation. You know, not likely that it'll be three, four, five generations, but it could. And it oftentimes affects the first generation. Now, here's a guy who is blind, and Jesus told these guys the answer. Now listen up, here's the answer. He said, "This guy is not blind because of any sin that he committed or any sin that his parents committed, but he was born blind for the express purpose of me coming here and healing him to demonstrate my power and my office of who I am. That's why he was born blind." And he healed his blindness. The Pharisees came along and they said, "Hey, who healed your blindness?" And he said, why don't you go talk to him? And the guy that healed me, it was that guy over there. Why don't you go ask him? And all I know is that I was blind, been blind from birth, and now I can see. They went to this kid's parents and said, "Hey, what do you know?" "Well, we don't know any more than you do. We're testifying to you. He was born blind. He has not been able to see. And now he's 20 years old, and that guy over there healed him." That was the purpose for it. Now here's the lesson for you and I to learn and understand. All sin is all penalties, all blindness, all sickness, all disease, all death is caused by sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. It's a violation of the terms and conditions of your contract. Roger Rosenblatt's daughter sinned. She did something that caused her heart to fail. I mentioned this. I got a student in here one time. His name was Roy, and he was from down around Amarillo, Texas. And he came here to class, and we were talking about the laws of the scripture and so on, and we mentioned that pig was against the law. And of course, this guy ate pig, just like most people do, pig-eating Christian. And he said, "Nobody's going to tell me what to eat." And I assured him that I wasn't here to tell him what to eat, but that as an instructor, you know, if I'm going to tell you what the law is, I need to tell you what the law is. I can't just, you know, gloss it over. And so that was all done away with back in the olden days. It wasn't done away with in the olden days, and it exacts penalties. So he went to school here, and he went home, and you know, everything was fine. 3 years later, his wife called and said Roy died. Roy died of a heart attack, age 47. Not 38, but he was 47 years old. Now, we were guaranteed, under the terms and conditions of this contract, 70 years. You are entitled to live to be 70 years old. And without any disease, without heart attack, without diabetes, and rheumatism, arthritis, or anything else. And if you violate and break the law, now you may come down with diabetes. So when you see somebody with diabetes, he brought that on himself. He brought it on himself. It may be that his parents brought it on him. That could be. If it's a second or third generation, people call it genetic, you know, that could happen. There's scriptural evidence of that, no doubt about it. Now, if you want to get off that treadmill, well, then you need to go back to performance on the contract, the terms and conditions of the contract, which is the point that I'm making here in this series of programs. There's a cause and effect relationship. This economic meltdown that we're all experiencing now isn't happening accidentally. It's a penalty that we're all paying for the violation of the 15 economic laws of the Bible. There are 15 economic laws, and by golly, I'm here to tell you, break those laws and you're going to end up poor. You're going to end up in poverty. You're going to have your house taken away. You're going to go through bankruptcy. You're going to end up flat-ass broke. Now, if you practice the economic laws of the Bible, you will prosper, even when everybody else is not prospering. Now, let me show you how this works. Back in the Middle Ages, there was a disease epidemic went through Europe. It was called the bubonic plague, 1348. Look it up in Google or look it up in an encyclopedia, and you look at bubonic plague. It's a great plague. It lasted about 3 years, from 48 to 51. And it killed around 100 million people, you know, give or take, you know, a few. Now, there was a group of people that were virtually untouched by this plague, and they were called Jews. Oh, my God. The Christians just hated them, and they persecuted them, and they killed them. The Jews, they killed the Jews. Why? Well, the Jews were not affected by bubonic plague. Now, that's not to say that none of them died from it. I don't know how many did or didn't. But one historical fact stands out, and that is that as a general rule, the Jews are walking around buying, selling, and trading, doing their thing, living their lives, and the bubonic plague is killing everybody around them. I mean, it got so bad in London that the survivors just walked out with the clothes on their back they just left toward the end of it. They just couldn't deal with it. So they couldn't bury the bodies fast enough. And so they blamed the Jews. They said, hey, you Jews over there must be poisoning our water. You know, you guys are doing this to us. And it wasn't the Jews doing anything to anybody. See, Jews don't eat pork. And they don't eat fat. And they don't eat blood. And then they practice the dietary laws of the Scripture. And as a result of that, they weren't plagued by the bubonic plague like the Christians were. So this was a plague. It comes around every once in a while. Now, we're facing a big plague in Revelation chapter 6. God tells you that there's a big plague coming, going to kill 1/4 of all the people on planet Earth. And you know what you people are going to do? You're going to blame the Jews. You're just going to get mad like Roger Rosenblatt, and you're going to blame God and the Jews and everybody else but yourself. And then you're going to justify yourself because, you know, I'm with Jesus and I'm with God, and you're religious and you go to church every Sunday and Wednesday night. But the moral to the story is you're in breach of contract. Every time you break one of these laws, there's a penalty to pay. And I've mentioned this a time or two. Let's look at one more here. You drink Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola. It doesn't have to be Coke. I'm not singling Coke out per se. But all these drinks, these diet, not diet, but the soft drinks that you're drinking, they contain 9 teaspoons of sugar. Some of them more. Like Mountain Dew contains a good deal more. And there's one out here that's called Jolt. And it says, right on the can, it says twice the caffeine and twice the sugar. I mean, if you want a Jolt, you know, drink Jolt. Well, anyway, during the last 20 years, the incidence of diabetes has doubled, and the incidence or the quantity or volume of soda pop has doubled, and nobody draws a parallel to that and then says, hey, wait a minute, you suppose maybe, huh, just maybe, drinking soda pop causes diabetes? All right, now let's take a look here. Last time we were over here at Deuteronomy 28, verse 45. Now listen to what's going to happen to us now for these breaches in our contract here with our Creator. He says, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you until you be destroyed, because you hearkened not unto the voice of the Eternal your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. That verse 45 is probably the keynote subject matter verse in the chapter. And for Roger Rosenblatt, do you know why your daughter died, Roger? She wouldn't have it any other way. Your daughter ate the way most Americans eat. And as a result of that, it affected her heart, and she died of a heart attack at age 38. Other people, it affects their liver, and so they die from liver failure. Other people, it affects some other organ in their body, and they die from some other cause. But there are 19 health laws in the Bible. If you follow those 19 health laws, I will guarantee you will live to 70 years old. And the reason that I can say that is because the Creator of the universe guarantees you that. He says, you practice my statutes, judgments, and commandments, 70 years. That's your contract lifespan. He says 80 if you're strong. Hey, listen, my Aunt Bessie lived to be about 85 years old or 86. My grandmother lived to be 87. My Uncle Buster was 85. My great-granddad was 92. And those people, they didn't practice all of the laws, but they practiced a lot of them. And now in modern times, you know, we're smoking more. We're exercising less. We eat more white flour, white sugar. We got these Super Size Me, you know, at McDonald's. And we're eating a lot of French fries and 30% fat in our hot dogs and hamburgers and so on. And there's a penalty that has to be paid for that. Now, we were told not to do that. Don't eat fat. There's a statute, Leviticus 3:17, so don't eat it. Animal fat will kill you. And I would imagine Rosenblatt's daughter ate hamburger, 30% fat. And it destroyed her heart, and she died from it. And we're kind of sad about that. And I'm not here gloating over Mr. Rosenblatt's loss. His daughter will come up in the second resurrection. She's going to have a 100-year period there in the Great White Throne Judgment to have her opportunity. And somebody's going to say to her, by the way, do you understand why you died at age 38? McDonald's. McDonald's. You want to have some more McDonald's? It's kind of like old Roy. Hey, nobody's going to tell me what to eat. All right, now he goes on, verse 46, and he says, and they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and upon your seed forever, because you serve not the eternal your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, for all the benefits that we've received. You know, the wealth that we Americans and Britons and Europeans all share. We have a standard of living that is the envy of the world. And, of course, we give ourselves the credit for creating and producing that. It's our Creator that tells us that He gave that to us as a part of our blessing. He gave it to us for the obedience of our forefathers, and we're the beneficiaries of it today. And if we want to keep it, then we have to perform on the contract. And if we don't, well, then we're going to get punished for it. Verse 47, he says, because you serve not the eternal your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shall you serve your enemies, which the eternal shall send against you. Now, when the Chinese and the Russians come against us with a nuclear bomb war, you want to remember Deuteronomy 28:48, and always remember who sent them against us. And when it happens, your politicians are going to say, why, these dirty no-good so-and-sos over here, they're taking advantage. Hey, listen, these guys could not whip us. Remember, I'll show you this in a future program. God said, you will go out before your enemies one way, and they will flee before you seven ways. I will protect you, and I will go before you, and I will destroy your enemies. But now he's telling us here, now, because you wouldn't follow the terms of the contract, I'm going to send these guys against you to destroy you, to send against you in hunger, thirst, nakedness, and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed you. That's the United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. And you people in Western Europe over there, you know, you're right along in this game with us, you NATO countries. These are primarily Anglo-Saxon countries and Anglo-Saxon people. So it's time to wake up and smell the coffee. Now, I'm not going to change the policy of the United States. I am not naive, at least not to the degree that I believe that Barack Obama is going to send me an email and say, gee, Mr. Gordon, I've listened to your radio program, and what do I need to do next? Come on, let's all wake up and smell the coffee. I will be burned at the stake. I will be rotting in a jail cell somewhere before that happens. No. I'm just here to tell you that this is what our Creator tells us is going to happen to our nation. Now, there will be some survivors, just like there were at Sodom and Gomorrah. Not many, but a few. And they will be protected. Now, going back here, last week we were talking about Revelation. Remember that? Now, let me show you about these guys that are going to be protected. We talked about it in Revelation 3:10. A little group of people over here that have the keys of David. Let me see if I can point that out to you. Revelation chapter 3:10. Because you have kept the word of my patience, because you have kept my commandments, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation. I also will keep you from the great tribulation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. This is a worldwide economic collapse. This isn't something that's just happening to the United States. It's going to happen to the Chinese and the Russians and everybody else. Now, you want to know why the Russians and the Chinese are going to come over here and destroy us? It's because we stiffed them. We stiffed them. See, we gave those people all of these 3x5 cards that say, I owe you. And then the Japanese and the Chinese and the people in Singapore and South Korea and all over, they're holding about $5 trillion worth of our bad paper. You know, it's like writing bad checks. And those people are going to get stiffed, and they're going to get hurt, and they're going to have their feelings hurt. There's just nothing that makes people madder than to think that they've been stiffed. It angers people when they think, I worked and I produced and I made all this money, and this guy stole it from me, cheated me out of it. I understand that. And in this case, it's a legitimate complaint on their part, because we, the Americans over here, we've been buying and using all these big screen TVs and the tennis shoes and all the goods and services that they've been sending over here. And by by comparison, they've been taking our treasury debt and all of our paper, and they're going to get stiffed for it. They're not going to get Dell computers and Caterpillar tractors. They're going to get worthless pieces of paper, and that's going to incense those people. And our creator, who is orchestrating this from behind the scenes, is going to bring this nation that we don't understand their language against us, to destroy us. Now, that's a war that's coming. We're going to call that World War III when that comes down. And we're being betrayed by our own politicians. You see, we've got a bunch of fifth columnists here in our country, and they're going to in cahoots with the Chinese and the Russians, set us up for this destruction. It's all a part of a plan that they call the New World Order, New World Order, World Government. Verse 49 says, "The Eternal shall bring a nation against you from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as an eagle flies, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old or show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your land, until you be destroyed, which also shall not leave you with either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of your kine or flocks or sheep, until he has destroyed you." This is a destruction. Now remember, who's the guy that's bringing the destruction upon us? Is it the Chinese? Are you going to blame Putin and the communists? Or are you going to blame God? That's what Roger Rosenblatt did. He blamed God for the death of his daughter, and you can blame God for the destruction of your nation. But in reality, you should look in the mirror and say, you know, I brought this on myself. I wouldn't listen. "And he shall besiege you in all of your gates until your high and fenced walls come down." That's your military establishment wherein you trusted throughout all of your land. "And he shall besiege you in all of your gates throughout all of your land which the Lord your God has given you." Besiege us. An embargo. They're going to stop shipping us all those goods. We import $800 billion a year and export $200 billion. That's a deficit of $600 billion. We're faced with a standard of living decrease of 75%. That's called a siege or an embargo. Hey, I'm out of time. I'm going to have to give you a final reminder here that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. And if you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. All right, we've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.